only woman, Ornette Coleman, passed away last week. What an incredible human being and misunderstood human being on many levels. And we have to generate some conversation about him. And, of course, who better to have in the studio than Robert Shahid, host of Baltimore Blend and WEA, and one of, I think, the best percussion men that I ever met.
Oh, my goodness, so flattering.
Which is true, though,
right,
man.
That's right.
And my friend Doc Manning, host of In the Tradition here in WEAA, and one of our great just jazz geniuses, knows more about this subject than...
That's him.
I'm looking at Robert Shahid.
He lives and breathes.
Yes, he does. 410-319-8888, your thoughts on Ornette Coleman. And what we're going to be playing, we're going to throw out some things you want to play. I think we're going to... I have a couple things we're going to play in a row. The first one we're going to come up with in a minute will be When All the Blues Leave, an early piece he did.
Yes.
And then Song X.
Yeah,
some other things,
too,
I want to make sure we play. And I'll throw those out to them, give them some chance. Let's talk a bit about this genius.
Amazing human being. Amazing innovator. And I have to say first that him being an innovator should not be unique to jazz, because jazz in and of itself is an innovation. It's always been something that has been a protest or a different view of the status quo. But Ornette is special as an artist and as a human being. One of his favorite sayings when you meet him is, "It's always better to be a good person." And that kind of reflected his spirit. He's been known to perform and then spend half of what, or at least almost all that he made from the performance, entertaining the guest afterwards, inviting him out to Indian restaurants for dinner. But as an innovator, what a special human being. He lived to be what God wanted him to sound like. And he did not take the opinions of others about his music to be something that he should play to.
No, exactly. And I think, Doc, one of the things you look at his, I was going through like a dozen songs covering from his earliest work, which was coming out of bebop, and his early quartets and quintets he worked with, and going to what gave him the Pulitzer Prize at the end, which we'll play a little bit of as well, because his breadth was so huge, and he, people said he wouldn't stay in lines, But one of the things we need to talk about Ornette Coleman was that he may not have stayed in the lines, but he did stay within the lines, because he created lines that just went beyond other people's lines, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I didn't say that very articulately.
That's right, because what he did was he put his theories into concrete practice. He decided that, look, he understood bebop like Robert related to, and he understood the dynamics of the history of the music. And so he came out, he was hearing a lot of different things. And you know that old saying when you musicians, Robert, you know that, you hear different things. So he was hearing a lot of stuff, came out of Charlie Parker. So he created this thing called harmelotics. And the thing—
harmelotics, right.
Yeah, harmelotics, what he did was instead of playing on the chord changes, he played on the melody, so therefore he would never lose the identity of the music, what he was playing, and it was based in blues, you know. So he always came forward with that, and he started making these social and political statements. He always did that, because that's what the music was about. That was a tradition of the music, whether you want to believe it or not, but it was. He did a thing over in 72 somewhere, and I think it's called Skies Over America.
Oh, yeah.
You know that?
I'm going to play. There's one song I want to play from that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
And, but you know, during that time, there was restrictions on jazz musicians coming to Europe, and they were restricted in some manner. I forgot how it went. But they were laughing at Ornette Coleman's group. So Ornette Coleman, they were saying, oh, he can't do this. So I think it's a London Philharmonic. So he stood up there and went through some stuff that blew him off. They said, oh, my God, I never thought anybody could play like it. I said, he's doing that.
So let me ask the producers to pull up. You don't have to do it right now. Just pull up so we'll be ready. Foreigner in a Free Land by Ornette Coleman.
That's
up?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. My man is way ahead of me.
Oh, yeah.
Look at him.
Right on time.
Look at him. Mark Gunry's way ahead of where I am. He's got it up. All right. This is what you're talking about. Let's play this piece. Mm-hmm. And so this is the London Symphony he's playing with. And he, Skies of America was his overall work that he was doing, the symphony he was writing. You know, and it just blew, people got very upset with this because it was this discordant stuff talking about where the life of black people in America. It was amazing.
But and you can feel it. And if you close your eyes and listen to it, as Doc and I were just doing, to this day you can feel that expression. And it's that expression that makes him so unique. He was not paying homage. He was paying homage to the meaning of jazz, to the meaning of the music. You know, when you think about Ornette Coleman, it's a good story, classic story, when Stanley Crouch, some of us appreciate him or not. But he brought Wynton Marsalis in to listen to some music, and he played Ornette Coleman, and Wynton thought it was Charlie Parker. And he said, I never heard Charlie Parker sound like that. Because Ornette played so much music, and you only began to identify how special he was, particularly when you had the chance to hear him live. Oh, my goodness.
You heard him live?
Why?
Of course you did.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
I never got the chance, and he was in town quite a bit. But Billy Higgins, who used to play drums with him, used to always say how, you know, Billy Higgins sort of like Ornette in a way. The way rhythm is a part of Ornette's playing. He plays like a drummer first and a melodic instrument second. You used to see him with that plastic horn.
Yeah, the plastic saxophone.
And his sound was so Ornette. You can identify him. And a lot of people took him for granted and said, this is jazz to come. This is our, well, so was Miles Davis when he started. So was Charles Mingus when he started.
And when you think about Ornette, they talk about free jazz. This is what I was trying to get to earlier. This is the quote I was looking for. But it was, when they were kind of going after him, saying it was free jazz, there's no organization to it. When he was finished the concert, and his line was, "All that music was written out."
That's right. Right. You ever notice every he took these measured steps, and when everybody thought he was like nuts or something, you look at the titles of the recordings, things that with the Shape of Jazz to Come and all this other.
Yeah,
stuff.
I think
1959. Right. You start talking about every recording had he took. It's like he's taking a step, but you got to catch up with him. You know what I mean? Because he's very expansive. He's spreading the rhythms out, and as you mentioned before, is based on what he did with the melody. He always stayed in tune with all that. And he just brought so many different people in. He got his son in at 9 or 10.
DiNardo.
Yeah, they got upset with him about that, you know. He says he's disciplined enough. He understands what's going on. And we need the raw talent anyway.
And we have to remember, Ornette, originally, when he was a child, wanted to be a doctor, a physician. And he felt that music was more healing than the practice of being a physician. And it certainly became that.
So a couple of stories I want to ask you. What was it with Ornette Coleman and why he decided to discard the piano?
Well, I think half of that, one of the reasons why, because that freed him up to be more rhythmically and expressive. You know, because the piano the chord changes and everything in it, you know, sometimes that's restrictive unless you're playing like Cecil Taylor.
That's what I was going to say. You know,
right? You know,
Cecil Taylor.
So that's the thing. So that was one of the reasons why he did that, you know. And if you notice, all this stuff is always based in the melody. He improvises all around it, but it's like a huge breath that he comes with all the time.
And not only that, among jazz artists, when you play any of the regular compositions, you have to be able to listen to be able to improvise on the format that you're in. But even more taxing for the musician with Ornette Coleman is that there was no real structure to the tune. Yeah. You had to be listening, really concentrating, because he would take it anywhere. And he didn't say, he always had this saying, I'm not the leader of this group. All of my musicians are the leader of the group. And we all are listening to each other because to make this music.
He was the inspiration if he wasn't the leader, right?
Exactly.
Let's see a little piece of this now, so I'll pull something else up. We're hearing Love Call. And this is, Elvin Jones is on this, Jimmy Garrison from Coltrane Quartet. Let's hear a little bit.
Love Call. Now, you know, this is John Coltrane's classic backup group. Elvin Jones on drums, Jimmy Garrison on bass, no piano. And they are killing.
And rhythmically just going at it. And you that's all you have to do is fast forward to John Coltrane and Elvin Jones when they got the bass and the piano layout and let John and Elvin go for it when they're playing. That's what there's another section of the music where they freed up. By virtue of what Ornette Coleman did prior to them.
This is a complete digression, but I have to do this for a moment. So Shahid Roberts handed me the Ornette Coleman Love Call album. He's got all these mint condition albums here in front of us that Ornette did. And the thing is, you know, this maybe makes me an old man. I don't know, but I just think that's what's missing in today's world of downloads.
You're missing all the liner notes.
That's the thing. That has a sub you can read.
Well, there's a good and bad side to that. Some of these liner notes are so different than the music until sometimes you can do without them. But in the case of some of the master artists like Charles Mingus and Miles Davis and all that, Miles Davis stopped the liner notes. You know, you're going to back his album. There's nothing but the tunes. There are some great liner notes on these Ornette Coleman.
There are. That's what I was thinking as I was reading this.
Nat Hinoff had a lot of...
Bob and he was very, very provocative. Nat Hinoff, and that's a true believer in free speech.
It's
Nat
exactly
Hinoff.
Right. So I want to ask, let's talk about this last album, see what you all think. Not that we're going to hear today. I'm just playing this right now. This is what won him the Pulitzer Prize.
Sound Grammar.
And this is Jordan from Sound Grammar.
That's right.
Let's play with this just for a second. Come back. I wanted these gentlemen to riff a little bit on this Pulitzer Prize winning album.
You know that when that recording came out, I was playing it all the time in the studio. And what impressed me, because he had two basses on there, which he normally, a lot of times he did. And he sometimes, you know, he plays violin as well, Ornette Coleman it is. And the thing that got me with this one was this. He did the pieces called Jordan, right? At the same time, when you think he just totally dissonant, he went out and he captured all the ideas. He went right into Over What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You know what I mean? You hear it, you know, and when anybody said anything bad about him, well, he can't do this, he can't play this, I said, that means you're not listening. You're not listening.
When you think 50, 60 years after Ornette Coleman became an innovator and was doing his thing, we have Obama coming on the scene saying, yes, we can. That's what Ornette was saying from the beginning. Yes, I can. There are no rules that said you cannot be creative. And even among jazz musicians today,
who can be very conservative,
who want to be conservative to rule out innovation to the point where saying, oh, well, that's not really jazz. Well, that is what jazz is all about. It's the ability to say that the rules can be broken in the interest of human expression.
That's right.
And when you're a good human being, as Ornette said in the beginning, then your expression is going to be good. And now, shamefully enough, after he's passed away, here we are, playing more Ornette in 1.5 hour than most of the radio stations play in a year.
He's a soundtrack to revolution in some ways. Personal, political, spiritual.
But he had a big box set that came out.
Right.
But, you know, empty foxhole. But one thing I know you could really relate to, we all can, is the thing he did with Naked Lunch with William Barrows. William Barrows was a very political figure. He did some crazy stuff during that period. But on that Naked Lunch,
he did the music.
He displayed all that. And I'm saying this man was always in front of everything.
And it was people like, people attacked him, it was people like Gunther Schuller. The German jazz musician and classical composer, and the folks at MJQ, Modern Jazz Quartet, who came out.
Who were classical jazz artists.
Who were classical jazz artists, right? Who based their work on Bach and Beethoven and the rest, but and the blues as well. But they came out in his defense.
Yeah, yeah. You know the pianist is definitely came out. I forgot his name with the modern MJQ.
Exactly.
Yeah, he came out. He wrote a whole thing about it. You know,
and Cannonball Adderley supported him too. Yeah. Another alto saxophone.
Although Miles
John
didn't
Lewis.
Like yeah, John Lewis, right?
John
Miles
John
didn't
John
like
Lewis.
His. He said he shouldn't be playing the violin. You know, he shouldn't
well,
be doing
Miles.
This. Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's you know, the envy and a little bit of that in there. But what he did, he just sat back and just. Have you ever noticed? What I liked about him, he was just so methodical in playing his stuff. You know what I mean? And in terms of, I'll put this recording out. Back it up with that, go and do the live session. You know, he just kept doing it and doing it and moving and expanding. And everybody says, if nothing else, you know, his name became a household name, Ornette Coleman.
Even they never heard who he
was.
Exactly. And still don't listen to
it.
Right. Some people think it's hip to be controversial.
I
associate myself with
innovator. I don't know if it's still up or not. Am I hearing it? Yeah, there it is. I'm playing that first, but that's not Ornette Coleman.
I know it's not. I didn't recognize
that
voice.
That's Cantor Joseph Rosenblatt. And when Ornette Coleman heard him, he did this whole riff about how it blew him away because he heard this cantorial music that broke all the boundaries of sound, of the keys, of shaping keys, turning keys, doing different tonalities. And it really affected him. So he was went crazy for this guy's work. And this is what I'm saying. Ornette pulled from all kinds of things. He could pull from Jewish cantorial music and the blues and everything else to kind of piece together what he's...
Yeah, it's just the same thing what they did with Stravinsky. Yeah, with Train was really associated, and Ornette was.
Yeah, right,
you know, the rites of passage where the people broke out and started riding,
in
1912.
Yeah, right, in 1912.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So when you said, you said he's doing all this. And the thing about one thing he always did, he was always forcing these ideas towards the future of what it could be. Like you said, the shape of jazz to come.
Shape of jazz to come.
I mean, it's just that he just, and you know, think about all the people he worked with.
But he did it because he loved human beings.
In order
to have people around him, you had to love
him. Song X.
Let's
come back. Let them riff on this. Song X.
Now you have to, when you listen to Ornette Coleman, nobody's asking you to continue to play it in your car as you go to work.
Yeah.
But what you have to recognize is that this music is not something for you to define in a small box and say, this is what I like and this is what I don't like. Free yourself up from all the preconceived notions of what you think jazz is or what you think good music is. And listen to it for its purity. And you'll find that you are identifying yourself with a loving human being who has an interest of communicating his own God-given uniqueness. And that's the beauty of the innovation of Ornette Coleman. I want to read one excerpt, if I can, with your permission, Mark, of a poem.
We got about 2 minutes to break. Go do that.
This is just an excerpt from the poem written by Ornette Coleman. Good old days. Happy to know someone who didn't know me. Helped to make a stranger free. Once a child fetching the wood. Feeling that I was doing something good. Faced the clothes all dirty and not hurt about being hungry as long as I could go out and play.
Interesting. You got it. One thing, like you mentioned, is this just a sample of what you were talking about. He would come in just like anybody else, Ornette Coleman, play these ideas, but like you said, you have to be willing to sit down and understand the majesty of his voice. That's what it is. Not to say he was a soothsayer or anything, but that's what this is all about. Once you sit down and listen to him, in other words, you got to be engaged with trying to understand, like humanity.
And when you understand
that
concept, there's no difference between him and James Brown
and
Miles Davis and Charles Mingus.
Here's what we have to
all the other innovators.
I want to invite you two brothers back again soon. This is much too short a segment to get into this and a couple other artists and talk about what this is meant for, changing the American landscape and world landscape of music.
Yeah, but don't forget, Jane Cortez Ornette's former wife. T.K. Blue was here the other night, you know, who worked with him. Donato Cole, those people are integral parts of his expression, yeah.
I think it's you, great man, good friends of mine. Yeah. Doc Manning, host of In the Tradition on Thursday nights here on WEI. No, Monday nights, what am I saying?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have to come back. Don't want to miss him tonight. And Robert Shaheed, host of Baltimore Blend. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Mark. We enjoyed
it. And reminding you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering you services that you get nowhere else. So go to www.mecu.com for more information. The Mark Steiner Show is the production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Henry. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Intern is Anthony Nichols. Our intern and history research producer is Sienna Greaves. Theme music by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. And that's The Jungle is a Skyscraper by Ornette Coleman, who passed away last week, who we've been riffing about. To podcast The Mark Steiner Show, share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org, or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.